this evening. Coming up tonight, Valerie and I look ahead to the sporting year, that is 2021, from a Cork perspective anyway, and give our predictions for the year. We're also going to talk to Liam Kearney, who was appointed the head of Cork City's Academy earlier on in the week. We'll talk to him about his plans for the year and replacing Colin Healy, who of course is out now the first team manager. Also on the show tonight, going to wrap up all the day's action, including a busy day in the FA Cup, and we're going to talk to Irish professional boxer Eric Donovan, who has a big fight to come in 2021. That's all to come between now and 7 o'clock. You're listening to The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. All right, we're here until 7 o'clock. I've been off for the last 3 weeks, so I can't remember how to do anything, what buttons work where, what does what. So this is going to be an interesting hour of radio ahead, but glad you could join me on the Big Red Bench. If you want to get in touch with us on the show, you can text us or WhatsApp us 086-8104-106. You can tweet us as well. At Big Red Bench is the place to send your texts. Right, before we talk to Valerie and talk about the year that is 2021, just getting up to date and everything that's been happening today, and that includes the FA Cup, where the biggest, I suppose, David and Goliath story of the weekend is Tottenham and non-league side Marine. And it is Tottenham who lead by 4 goals, still heading into the second half. Vinicius has scored a hat-trick for Jose Mourinho's side. Lucas Moura also finding the back of the net. They are 7 divisions apart, and both sides, so it's the biggest mismatch basically in the competition's history. So fantastic stuff indeed for Marine, but not going their way today, as I suppose was to be expected. Elsewhere today, League 2 Crawley causing a shock as they beat Leeds by 3-0. Joe Rawson was there.
Crawley Town 3, Leeds United 0. The League 2 side have pulled off a stunning FA Cup giant killing, comfortably seeing off their Premier League opponents, and the goals all came in the second half. Former Spurs youngster Nick Cerulla with the first, dribbling the ball 40 yards before finishing neatly into the bottom corner. Ashley Nadison got the second, though Leeds goalkeeper Kiko Kassia should have done better with the shot that was through him, and he was beaten for a third time by Jordan Tunnicliffe as the ball fell to him in the penalty area. Towie's Mark Wright did get on to make his Crawley Town debut. Leeds go out of the FA Cup for the fourth year in a row at the third round stage. Crawley are in dreamland. Crawley Town 3, Leeds United 0.
Talk about rubbing salt into the wounds. You're 3-0 up against Leeds in the FA Cup, and you bring on a 33-year-old former Reality star to shore up things in the last 3 minutes. Incredible stuff from Crawley Town, with fair play to Mark Wright. Elsewhere today, Chelsea beat Morecambe 4-0 at Stamford Bridge, thanks to goals from Mason Mount, Timo Werner, Callum Hudson-Odoi and Kai Havertz. Elsewhere, Bristol City beat Portsmouth by 2-1. Cheltenham Town had a 2-1 win over Mansfield. And Manchester City had a 3-0 win over Birmingham to advance to the next round. Bernardo Silva scoring twice, Phil Foden also finding the net. And City boss Pep Guardiola made 5 subs in the second half.
Some players played minutes that deserves to play, and other ones just few minutes, half time, because they play a lot of minutes in the last games. And some young players were involved in our qualification for the next round.
Man City striker Sergio Aguero, meanwhile, is isolating after having contact with someone who's tested positive for coronavirus. He missed today's win over Birmingham, and boss Pep Guardiola isn't sure how long he'll be without him.
I don't know exactly, because he has been tested, like all of us, 6 times in last 10 days, 15 days. So he's negative. I think today is negative too.
Final tie tonight is at Newport County, and Brighton and Hove Albion going head to head today at Rodney Parade. That's a 7:45 kickoff. Rangers meanwhile beating 10-man Aberdeen 2-1 away from home in the Scottish Premiership today. Alfredo Morelos with both goals for Steven Gerrard's side. That means they are now 22 points clear at the top of the table, at least until Celtic play tomorrow. Now, Celtic have also confirmed that an unnamed player has tested positive for coronavirus. The Scottish champions were due to play Hibs tomorrow night, or are due to play Hibs, I should say, tomorrow night. They've just returned from a controversial mid-season trip to Dubai, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Meanwhile, Scottish Championship club Dundee have condemned racist messages sent to Irish under-21 international Jonathan Afolabi. The 20-year-old striker is currently on loan at Dundee from Celtic. He shared some of the racially abusive messages that were received on Instagram after he scored a stoppage time equaliser during a 3-2 extra time Scottish Cup win last night. Dundee say they've also reported the incident. They'll look into what further steps can be taken. The FAI have also released a statement on Twitter to say the FAI condemns the vile racist comments directed online at Dundee and Republic of Ireland under 21 striker Jonathan Afolabi. Such behaviour cannot and will not be tolerated. The FAI fully supports Jonathan and the stance taken by his club. In golf, the Americans Harris English and Ryan Palmer shared the lead going into the final round of the Tournament of Champions in Hawaii later on. They're both tied at 21 under par, while third place Colin Moriwaka is just one shot behind him. And in snooker, the Masters got underway in Milton Keynes today. Karen Wilson beating Gary Wilson 6-2 in their only match at the Marshall Arena. Joe Pair takes on Dave Gilbert at 7 p.m. this evening. Right, 2021 shaping up to be a massive sporting year. Should COVID allow? And for more on it, we're joined by the Big Red Bench's own Valerie Wheeler. Valerie, how are you?
Rory, it is great. It's great to be back sharing a show with you in the new year. We loved so much in the Christmas special, we just had to do it.
Yeah, we were like, we got to present more shows together. And I was like, yes, Sunday show, let's start talking nonsense on the air and let's see how far we can push it and get away with it. It's going to be an interesting 2021, I think. We're here, I suppose, to look ahead to the year and maybe put down some predictions for our sporting predictions for 2021. As things stand, it's hard to make predictions because we don't know when things will be starting. The COVID situation is abysmal in Ireland at the moment. There is light at the end of the tunnel with the vaccine. And fingers crossed, we'll be back with championship action as soon as we can. But I suppose it's kind of an interesting time, I guess.
Yeah, it is a really interesting time, Rory. I think before Christmas, we were all so happy to have made it through the championship for all the teams in order to get through it safely and for the organisations to be able to run them off safely was amazing. And for us now to be hit with these crazy COVID numbers, I think it's kind of worrying for a lot of people. And us as sports presenters and broadcasters, we'd only love to be at the games and love for the games to be happening, but of course you have to take safety and health into consideration. But those numbers are just so crazy at the moment, I can't see how anything will be going ahead. But as you said, you need to remain positive.
Yeah, it was interesting because before Christmas, and we had this discussion on our show last week, it almost felt like there was almost too much sport at one stage because they were wrapping almost an entire year into the last 3 months of the year. Now we're at the start of the year and we're heading into a period of uncertainty. We don't know when anything is going to happen. We don't know when anything is going to start. It is, I suppose, quite uncertain times. We saw France kind of locking down and there's big question marks over the Champions Cup games coming up that are due to happen in the next couple of weeks. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens. The only thing we can do is stay positive and give our predictions for the year. That is 2021. We're doing this on the basis that everything's going to go ahead as planned, as organised, as scheduled. I suppose the main place to start is from a Cork perspective, I suppose, the hurlers and the footballers. I'm going to start with the hurlers, I guess, who had an underwhelming year last year, an underwhelming championship. A lot of pressure on them coming into this year, a number of retirements in the off-season. You talked to Steve McDonnell yesterday on yesterday's show, if you want that. It's on the Big Red Bench podcast from yesterday. So what shape are Cork in heading into 2021?
I love when we do prediction shows like this because this is where our credibility goes out the window.
We have no credibility. We've had no credibility for a long time. It's grand.
I suppose. Where are the Cork hurlers heading into this? I think they'll be under massive pressure this year. I really do think that Kieran Kingston and his backroom team and anyone that is involved is going to feel the pinch heading into this year's league championship. I think there has been, you know, changed over the last few weeks and there's been rumours of players leaving and players retiring. And I think that when you see long-term and experienced and, you know, high-profile players leaving a panel, it kind of lets you wonder where they're going to be in terms of when they do start to get in the pitch. But yeah, I think they'll be under a lot of pressure. I hope for their sake that, you know, that, look, they're probably going to be in the same boat as everybody else, not being able to train, not being able to meet up. So, you know, you would like to think that they're all going to be starting at the same level, but other counties are much far ahead of them, unfortunately, Rory, after what we've seen last year. So I think for Cork, I think they probably could have done with the month of January to have put in this work and effort for a few weeks, but unfortunately they just don't have that now.
Yeah, thankfully, as you say, everyone, I suppose, is in the same boat. So I mean, like, the delay is going to affect every county equally, but on a bigger picture, I suppose Limerick were the champions last year. They're the team to beat again this year. Will anyone beat them? Will Galway be able to put up them? Will Kilkenny, Tipperary be able to put them up to them? That's the big question.
I often think that when it comes to league matches, I do think that the top level team does get a bit of a hop in the league, you know, because they probably do get some kind of a beating in the league, and that's where they probably tend to grow a bit more. Mm. But I don't know, Limerick are just so good at the moment. Like, people are, you know, comparing them to the Dubs at this stage in the football, that they're going to be there, and they're going to be there for quite some time. And I myself do think that they will. I think that they're extremely humble, extremely down to earth. There's none of them after losing the run of themselves over winning over the last 3 years. There's none of them big headed either, you know. You kind of see teams heading in and you'd be worried for them that they'd lose the plot over winning, but it just doesn't seem to be with that, and with John Kiely keeping them grounded. And of course they have a psychologist, Caroline Currid, with them, and look, she seems to be doing absolute wonders, and she's some woman I'd love to chat to, but she's very, very hard to get. She's very, very, I don't know, does she want to be chatting to us? She probably likes to stay out of the limelight a bit. But I'd love to get into Caroline Currid's head and find out what is going on there and what is she doing with those players.
It's the belief, I suppose, she's giving the players. I suppose that's her job, is to make every player believe that they are good enough and that they can go on and win All-Ireland Championships. And obviously it worked. It paid dividends last year.
Yeah, I think that Caroline Currid has more All-Ireland medals than some players now, and would like, being a psychologist, that is some CV to have in your hands. And look, it's great, and that's the belief she instills in them, and they're able to go on and do that. And even having something as small as that logo on the back of their jersey last year that John Kiely wouldn't reveal to me at the end of the year what it meant. I was like, can you tell us what it means now? He was like, no, Valerie, we can't.
I'd say those fellas across the room have that tattooed on themselves at this point, now that logo. It's a really interesting story. I'd love to know what it means, and the fact that we're still talking about it now, like 2 weeks into 2021. It's amazing.
And look, who knows? Maybe we'll find out in years to come, but I actually don't think we will. I think they're such a close-knit side, you know, that Keane Lynch was standing to the side of John waiting for his interview to come up afterwards. And when I did ask the question, Keane burst out laughing because he knew himself, you know, that John won't tell her. You know, I just think that he knew that everyone's mad to know. And I think that's why they want to keep themselves. Everyone wants to know, and it's something that they have for themselves.
Are we both going Limerick so for the hurling this year?
I'm going Limerick. I'll tip Limerick for the All-Ireland Champions 2021. I've no fear in saying that.
Don't sound so happy about it.
I know, but you're like, 'tis either laugh or cry now at this stage, Rory. But well, let's hope Cork do give him some bit of a run.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Looking at the footballers then, the Cork footballers had one magic moment last year with that win over Kerry in the semi-final, followed by that disappointment over Tipperary. They have to put that to the back of their minds heading into 2021. They were building nicely, performed very, very well in the league. Everyone thought that game against Kerry was the turning point. Yes, we're going to mix it with the big boys, brought back down to earth against Tipperary. Ronan McCarthy giving another 2-year term in charge of the footballers over Christmas, and that's big from a continuity point of view. And I think just from talking to the players, they enjoy playing for him. So again, like the hurlers, a lot of pressure on the footballers going into 2021.
Yeah, I do think so, but I do have a lot more kind of a bit of a bit of positivity around the footballers than I would the hurlers, to be honest, Rory, because I do think that Ronan McCarthy staying on, first of all, is huge for them. As you mentioned, the continuity for them there, and I think they do enjoy playing for him, and he seems to get along with them really well. There seems to be no, you know, messing about with him. I think players know where they stand with Ronan as well.
Yeah.
I think that's really good when it comes to you being a player, because you know, okay, I need to do this, or I need to work that hard enough to get in the panel, and there's other players that know that they're going to be getting their starting positions. But I do think that, you know, I think that maybe that Tipperary game will just be such a kick to them, that it was such a disappointment, that they will be able to drive on. But I do feel a bit more positive about the footballers, and I don't know why, but I just feel like, you know, they probably would have definitely a good Munster Championship this year, and who knows, they might be Munster Champions at the end of the year.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed. I think a Munster championship would be a fantastic achievement. It almost felt like we won the Munster championship by beating Kerry last year. And then we actually know there's a finals come against Tipperary. And I think probably more than a few people across Cork were looking past Tipperary. But Tipperary were an excellent side and they'd fully deserved that win that day. But there's no point in predicting any other winner of the All-Ireland Football Championship than Dublin next year. It's like you might as well just give them the cup now. Just give it to them.
I know.
Get it over and done with. And look, we'll all play for a runners-up cup. Because, I mean, like, that Dublin team is so good. They're so far ahead. They're so clinical. They're so professional. They're so efficient. And there is no way they aren't going to be All-Ireland champions again in 2021.
No, there isn't. And to be honest, as a player of another county, you'd probably be thinking, why would I bother this year? Why would I burst my absolute brains for the league, a championship, and probably to go up to Croke Park and All-Ireland final day and be hammered by the Dubs yet again? I think that must be like, you'd want serious mental strength from being a player from another county, because at the end of the year, you know you've no chance of winning in All-Ireland. At least the hurling is so open, yeah, anything can happen, you know. And that's been great. And that's been so good over the last few years for everyone. And even the players themselves probably love that it's anyone's game. But now at the moment with the football, it's just the Dubs. And I think it must be very hard to be another player knowing that you stand no chance of winning an All-Ireland medal, as much as work and hard work you'll put in this year.
I know, it's hard for us to say that, I suppose, as Cork fans, and I suppose every other fan around the country is in the same, who aren't Dublin. But what I suppose it's the lack of joy that Dublin seem to show from winning All-Irelands gets to me. It's become just another routine kind of event. We saw the scenes in Croke Park when they lifted the cup and everyone was just kind of just shrugging their shoulders. Oh yeah, on to the next one.
I know, and I think that's so disrespectful. I don't know, you know, I don't think they mean to be disrespectful when it comes to doing that, yeah, but I think they're so used to it now that we have another All-Ireland medal.
Yeah.
But it must be so frustrating.
I know, just compared like Dublin winning the All-Ireland football title compared to these scenes when Tipperary won the Munster football title. That's the difference, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's what you love to see. I think everyone loves that, like, raw emotion when that final whistle goes and you see a team winning in All-Ireland. We saw from Kilkenny in the Camogie this year. I mean, the scenes was unbelievable. Yeah. Like, they'd actually give you a lump in your throat and make you well up, but unfortunately, you will never get that from watching the Dubs win.
No, we certainly won't. So you're going Dublin for the All-Ireland football title?
Dublin for the football, yeah. I am, unfortunately, Rory.
I'm going to go for Mayo. No, I'm only joking. Dublin. It's the biggest lock of 2021. Cork ladies footballers coming very, very close last year against the Dubs, just coming up short against an excellent Dublin team, it has to be said. They are fantastic. A big learning experience for Cork, and they'll be back stronger this year. But have they got what it takes to overthrow the Dubs and win once more?
I actually do think they do. I really think that Cork, if any team out there, I do think it's Cork that can stop the Dubs. And I would be really confident that this year they're going to be there again. Mm-hmm. I just think that last year they must have had plenty of teams have awful days out. And I just think that was Cork's. And unfortunately, it was an All-Ireland final day. And they don't play like that ever, you know. They've never played that way. And I think them themselves would be disappointed how they played because they didn't show up. And it's such a good start. And then for it just to fall away. And I do think that if there's anyone that can stop that Dublin team, I do think it's the Rebels.
Yeah, and they're a very young side. Aoife Fitzgerald's an excellent coach, and he mentioned that they're a young side. They're still in transition. They're still learning. They're still improving. And he was happy enough with getting to the All-Ireland final. Disappointed, obviously, not to win. But he knows there's a lot more to come from this Cork team. And fingers crossed, they hit the ground running. It'll be their year.
Yeah, no, and I hope it will be their year. And I know that they have it behind them. They have that drive and they have motivation to get back up there again. As you said, such a young side. Plenty of amazing players there that, you know, deserve All-Stars and that deserve their All-Ireland medal. And I just think that maybe the break might suit them now. You know, they've had a rough end the year last year. And I think once they kind of regroup now, when they're allowed to go back training, I think that they'll feel better about themselves and go, right, we're going to have a good rap this year. And I do think that they will. It's going to go for Cork ladies to win the football this year.
Nice, that's what we like to hear. That is what we like to hear. Cork winning an All-Ireland title, fingers crossed. The Cork Camogie panel probably a little bit further away than the football panel heading into 2021. A lot of work for them to do this year.
Yeah, I do think so. And I think that, you know, with the likes of Pádraig there, who better than to get them back on track? And there's plenty of players there that, you know, they have the experience, they have the youth, and they have the experience side of things now. And I do think that, you know, Cork will always be there, thereabouts in the Camogie. But I just think that between Galway and Kilkenny over the last year or two, I just think they've just maybe outplayed them a small bit. And unfortunately, I don't know, with after looking at this year's final and looking at, you know, the previous year as well, I just don't know if Cork have it enough to match the likes of Galway and Kilkenny now. It's, you know, Kilkenny were just so good last year. Galway still are the animals that they, you know, I was expecting Galway. I'd say maybe 10 minutes before the All-Ireland final, I was like, it's Galway's to win. There's no way Kilkenny's winning. I was on air to you. I was like, this is going to Galway. And then, look, I got it handed to me above. I was like, oh my God, and Kilkenny came out and played great. But who knows what can happen with Camogie as well. It's so like hurling that, you know, it's anybody's game and anything can happen. And there's, even if there's a maybe 15 points between them and the board, there's always a team that can come back. So who knows? It depends on who has the most drive and motivation and wants it the most.
Yeah, so I suppose you're looking at Kilkenny and Galway again. Now, fingers crossed Cork can put the cat amongst the pigeons and get to the All-Ireland final at least. But Kilkenny and Galway looked very, very strong last year. Probably going to be between the two of them again, I guess.
Yeah, I do. I honest to God think it will be there. It will be them thereabouts. And I do think the likes of Tipperary and Waterford and Cork will be hot on their heels. You know, it's not that I'm giving Cork no chance either, but I just think that the other two are just so far ahead of them at the moment that I do think Cork could definitely reach a semi-final. You know, I'm not writing them off either completely, but I'd love to see them prove me wrong, and I'd love for them to be in an All-Ireland this year, and I would love every single one of them to laugh at me at the end of the year.
Fingers crossed and say you counted us out, you said we wouldn't. All right, but fingers crossed anyway. But looking ahead to the League of Ireland First Division, because that's what we care about. We don't care about the Premier Division this year. It's non-existent, doesn't exist. Go on away with you. First Division this year. Massive, massive year for Cork City. It's a massive, massive year for Cove Ramblers. However, it's going to be a nightmare of a division to get out of because everyone is so strong this year.
Yeah, and I don't know, this is your baby, Rory. I think that you of all people, you know the hurt and pain that you've gone through over the last year when it comes to Cork City. Yeah. So for you, what do you think that Cork need to do this year to maybe get back out of it or to even try, you know, give belief to their fans, or give belief to the people of Cork that, you know, I think that's what they really need to do at the moment.
It's an incredibly hard division to get out of. You look at Cove Ramblers over the last couple of years, they've been knocking on the door. And it's just an incredibly tough division to get out of because over the last couple of years, teams have been just excellent, basically. And Cove Ramblers have been close. They've been very, very close. They've been doing very, very well under Stuart Ashton. They'll have aspirations to go up this year as well. He's kept most of his squad from last year, added a couple of players. It looks like it's going to be very, very exciting for Cork City. Colin Healy getting the job full time, I think, is fantastic. It's the right choice. He's been working hard at assembling his squad over the last couple of weeks, or since he was announced as full-time manager. Mostly setting up a lot of the younger players from last year that he had under him. And I suppose the big thing with Cork City is it's an uncertain time with the takeover as regards with Grove Moore. They've helped this year financially to make sure that Cork City could move forward, and they were able to bring in Colin Healy. Signing Garrod Morrissey is huge. He's one of the best midfielders in the country in the Premier Division or the First Division, so his signing was absolutely massive. But as I say, look, you've got Galway United there with John Caulfield, who came very, very close to getting Galway promoted last year out of nowhere. They're going to be very, very competitive. Shelburne obviously going to be very, very strong. They're going to be incredibly competitive. Athlone Town spending a lot of money, they're going to be competitive. Bray Wanderers are going to be competitive. So I mean, like, for Cork City, it's probably a season of consolidation and trying to get things back on track, because getting relegated last year was tough. It was a tough season. And now getting back up to the Premier Division is going to be quite difficult. So it might take a couple of years. I don't think any Cork City fan is going to say, yeah, we're definitely going to go up this year, when you look at the strength and the experience that other teams have. So it's a case of consolidation, getting players playing football in an attractive manner, which in fairness, Colin Healy had tried to implement. They worked very, very hard under Colin last year. in his time in charge find the departure of Neil Fenn. I can't imagine that's going to be any different this year, because if Colin Healy's in charge, you are going to work 110%, and he is going to demand that, and that's to be expected from Colin Healy. So he's going to get Cork City playing a bit of football. He's going to have them working hard. As I said, it is in a very hard division to come out of. So we still don't know when the season is going to start at this point. It was supposed to start in February. It's going to get pushed back to the end of March by the looks of things. And as again, that's where the, I suppose, the not the worry, but I suppose the what's the word I'm looking for?
The stress of them trying to get out of there.
The unpredictability of when everything is going to start. That's the word I'm trying to look for. You can tell it's my first show back after Christmas, after 3 weeks, can't you?
I don't know what he's trying to say either.
Neither did I, but I made a career out of that. But yeah. It's going to be a very, very hard season. But look, hopefully Cork City fans will have something to shout about. Hopefully Cove Ramblers fans will have something to shout about. And if Cork City and Cove Ramblers got to the playoffs, and maybe even if Ramblers could go up, and if Cork City could go up, it'd be absolutely fantastic. Fingers crossed. But look, it's going to be a very, very hard year, I think.
Yeah, and let's hope that they're somewhat competitive, Rory. That's all we ask. You know, I don't think we want them to being hammered below in the division that they've just been relegated to. So fingers crossed for my sake, listening to you as well.
And fingers crossed for the fans back in the grounds as well. I mean, like, again, all dependent on COVID and vaccine rollout and all that, but watching Cork City and Cove Ramblers last year, the fans wasn't the same thing, and watching Cork games and watching the Cork County Championships without fans wasn't the same thing. Without fans, it's such a huge part of all the sporting events that we cover and all the sporting events that we attend as both reporters and as fans. So fingers crossed we can get fans back into the grounds this year. That's going to be massive, and fingers crossed we'll see success for all the Cork sides this year with fans in attendance. That's my only hope, fans back in the ground this year.
Yeah, I'd like to have your positivity when it comes to having fans back in the stand this year, but I just can't. I just can't see it, Rory. I can't see it happening. And I'd love you more than like you and me. I'd love for it, because, you know, it's not the same at all. And players feed off them. We feed off them when we're doing reports on air. You know, I think that it's very different, very much missed. And I think that they're missed it too, but as long as that we're able to, you know, bring it through them for through radio and TV, I think they'd be happier to have them than have nothing at all.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed, let's get that vaccine, hook it to our veins, and get us back into stadium.
Straight into me. All right, Valerie, thanks very much for joining me on our show this evening. It's been a pleasure again presenting a show with you. We have to do this a bit more often, actually. It's a lot of fun. But thanks very much.
Thanks, Rory. We're getting away with it anyway.
Right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Cork City's new head of academy, Liam Kearney.
Miss the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.
Rory here with you on the Big Red Bench until 7 p.m. this evening. Thank you very much indeed for tuning our way on this Sunday evening. Get you up to date on the FA Cup. Tottenham now 5-0 up away to Marine. Alfie Devine with Spurs, fifth on the hour mark, 73 minutes gone on the clock there. And big, massive David and Glyde story, that one. A huge gap between them. One of the biggest mismatches in the competition's history. 7 divisions separating both sides. So real David and Glyde stuff. But Marine certainly not going to pull off a shock today. Well, you never know. No, there's not enough magic in the cup for that to happen today. And Newport County and Brighton and Hove Albion is today. Kick-off 7:45, the start time for that one. Now, earlier this week, it was announced that former Cork City winger Liam Kearney was to become the head of the club's academy, replacing Colin Healy, who, of course, is now first team manager. I spoke to Liam earlier on about the role and his plans for the year ahead.
I'm good, Rory. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for coming on. It's been a while. Tell us how this gig came about.
I suppose Colin basically had been in touch with me, you know, to see if I was available. Obviously, I had been up with John at Galway, so he was just kind of seeing would it be something of interest to me. And I suppose I kind of just said to him I'd love the opportunity if it was available. And as time went on, then obviously it became available with him taking the first team job. So I was delighted to come in.
Yeah, big shoes to step into replacing Colin, I suppose.
Yeah, listen, Colin, the work he's done there, obviously I've been involved because I was coaching the 17s for 2 years as well, so I would always work closely with him that way, and obviously being in with the first team with John, we would have always been in close contact in regards to what the young players coming through, how they were doing and stuff like that as well. So it's a good fit. Obviously, if I can continue the work that Colin's been doing and, you know, add to that, then that would be great, you know.
And was it a hard decision, I suppose, to leave John and Gall, because it seemed like something special was happening up there?
Yeah, look, I mean, I've always enjoyed my time working with John, and we've had good success as well. So obviously having done so well to get into the playoffs last year, it was a big decision for me to probably step away from it. But I suppose when Cork City comes calling to you, it's always very hard for me anyway not to think about it. And obviously, as I said, I'm just delighted to take the chance to come in. And look, I suppose I love working with young players, love working with coaches and you know, just trying to get the best out of players and develop them. So it was a no-brainer for me, really.
And just on Galway last year, I mean, like, what was it that kind of was so special about you and John and what happened up there? Because you came very, very close to reaching the playoffs.
I suppose, well, we went in, we were kind of surprised ourselves, having watched them in training and stuff, that, you know, they were so far off it in terms of points. They had drawn a lot of games, and I think, you know, when you go in and you win your first game, and it probably gave them a sense of belief, and it kind of just rolled on from there, really. And I suppose they developed and just played a lot better as the season went on, really. But look, it was disappointing to miss out in the end, but at the same time, I think it was a successful period of them.
Yeah, it certainly was. Now, just looking at the academy job, I mean, like, obviously, young Cork players coming through to play first team is what Cork City is all about. And obviously, that'll be your, I suppose, MO is to bring more players through to the first team.
Yes, I suppose that's the role. You know, it's about developing players. And, you know, we've had 13s, now it's 14s going into this year, but 14s, 15s, 17s, 19s. So it's the pathway, really. And, you know, it's important that you have the right people in place that are developing them from the early ages up to the 19s all the way through. And I suppose that's the role. That's what we're trying to do. And, like, not all players are going to probably go into the first team. But your job is that you've developed the person as well as the player in every way. You know, it's been such a difficult time, I suppose, when you look at it at the moment for young people. And football is such a big outlet. And, you know, it's been kind of taken away from them for a long time. So I suppose we just want to get players back on the training pitch, back enjoying football. Just, you know, once that comes around, I'm sure we can kick on from there then.
And I remember talking to Colin about this, and one thing he was always very determined about was getting the ethos of the club across from a very, very early age.
Absolutely. Look, I suppose that's the standards Colin has set here already with the academy, and no doubt he'll be taking that into the first team as well. So I know what he's about. I know what's demanded for this job. You mean you really do have to go above and beyond in terms of what you do, but the satisfaction then is to seeing the players coming through. I mean, you look now at the first team, you've a lot of young lads that have come through in the last couple of years, and maybe the first team probably would struggle to be where they are even now if they didn't have that. So it's a huge role in terms of how important it is for the club on a whole. And I suppose for me, I kind of have seen it, I've been experienced it from being in the first team and being underage, so it's probably the natural progression for myself to be in this role now, you know.
So what's the day today then? Is it like scouting players and talking to parents, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I suppose it's, at the moment it's really just kind of getting everything, my house in order, in terms of planning for the season ahead, in terms of coaches and, you know, having everything in place in terms of training facilities and making sure that we're a step ahead, really, so that we can hit the ground running without any major problems. And probably from my point of view, being able to help in any way I can with the coaches, because the work they put in is crazy, you know, in terms of, you know, being there three nights a week and you know, the commitment levels that they put in is huge. So, I mean, from my role, I'm probably looking at it that I really want to be able to provide what I can, obviously within the budget that we have, of giving them what they want to be able to work with the players.
And I suppose it must be hard to plan, I suppose, given the whole situation with COVID and nobody knows what's going to happen down the line, I guess.
Yeah, and that's the thing. But look, I suppose there is hope now with the vaccines coming in, and I think, you know, there is hope that we can get a rough guide of when we think we'll be back, so that you can kind of plan off of that. Obviously, everything's susceptible to change. But, you know, I think if we have a fair idea, I think people then can say, right, that's coming around the corner. This is the plan. If it has to change, then it might be just a week or two later, or if that's the case, But I suppose when people know, and obviously the parents, you know, there's a lot of people want to know when this is going to happen and how it's going to happen. So the sooner we can get our eggs in a row that we know what we're doing, I think everyone will feel a little bit more relaxed about it.
Yeah, and just looking at the players that Colin has signed for the first team for the upcoming First Division campaign, a lot of them have come through the academy, and that's a very attractive carrot, I suppose, for players coming to play for the Cork City Academy, is that if you put in the hard work, you'll be playing senior football down the line.
Yeah, that's a huge thing now. I suppose there's been years where obviously the first team has been hugely successful and winning leagues and stuff like that. And I suppose you look at it now and we're in the first division, you know, there is budget constraints, I'd imagine. And, you know, it's a huge opportunity for players to come in. And I suppose you look at Colin. Colin's a fantastic coach. He's a manager now as well. So, like, you know, for players to learn under himself, to come through the academy and to develop, a lot of them have worked under Colin before. It's a huge opportunity for them to be with someone that's really going to improve their game all round in terms of the football side of things, but also his knowledge and his experience of what it takes, you know, mentally as well.
Mm. When you look at the First Division this year, you've got experience of it last year with Galway United. You know how hard a division it is to play in, to get out of. I mean, like, it's going to be a big big task for all the teams, because it's looking like it's going to be a very, very competitive First Division this year.
Absolutely, I suppose. Again, it's an exciting First Division going into, look, if you look at the teams that are there now, and, you know, it is a tough league. As I said, with Galway, we found that, you know, that no easy game. Like, you could not take anyone for granted. I mean, at low and bottom of the league in the First Division, but yet, you know, did so well in the FAI Cup, and, you know, it was unpredictable. And I suppose, knowing Colin and knowing how he works, you know, he just prepare right for everyone, and, you know, I think hopefully we'll be competitive.
And will you be coaching any of the teams this year, Colin, or Liam, is it just kind of just assisting Colin, I suppose, in getting players to come through?
I suppose at the moment I'm assessing that point of view, but I see probably my role as kind of overseeing the situation in terms of the coaches and stuff. But again, at the moment, I'm just trying to get all that in order.
Excellent. Liam, come here. Very best of luck with it, buddy, and we'll look forward to watching your progress over the course of the year.
Thanks, Rory. Sound out. Cheers.
Yeah, always great to chat to Liam Kearney. Very, very best of luck to him in his new role as head of Cork City's Academy. And fingers crossed we'll get back reporting on First Division games by March anyway. So it remains to be seen what happens there. But great to chat to Liam, and a big, big job ahead of him. Especially replacing Colin Healy, but no better man for the job. Right, in the FA Cup, it's still Tottenham leading Marine by 5-0, 82 minutes on the clock there. Newport County and Brighton is a 7:45 kick off this evening. Shane Pinnington's at Rodney Parade.
When you're struggling at the bottom of the Premier League table and winless since mid-November, the last thing you need is an away tie in the FA Cup to lower league opponents and the chance of a huge upset. But that's exactly what Graham Potter and his Brighton side have been handed as they face a Newport side full of confidence and second in League Two. Michael Flynn's men are no strangers to an FA Cup giant killing, with Middlesbrough, Leeds and Leicester all beaten here in recent years. And the hosts will be hoping they can take another top flight scalp here tonight at Rodney Parade. It's Newport County against Brighton.
Yeah, 7:45 kick-off for that one. All right, in boxing, Irish professional Eric Donovan, a man I'm a huge fan of, I have to say, is at a great start to 2021. The news, he's going to fight for European Union title. It's going to be happening in the next couple of months. The Kildare Mama speaking to Mary Maguire this week as he was unveiled as the new health and wellbeing ambassador for Bearing Point.
So we are delighted to be joined today by reigning Irish featherweight professional boxing champion, former five-time Irish amateur boxing champion and double European bronze medalist, Eric Donovan, who was announced yesterday as Bearing Point's new health and well-being brand ambassador. Bearing Point, of course, is really proud to support Eric in his career as a professional boxer and is delighted to benefit from his knowledge and support in the areas of fitness, health and well-being in this new role. So Eric, thanks a million for coming along today and talk us through what this new role is for you.
Yeah, first of all, thanks very much for having me. Well, the role is health and wellbeing brand ambassador. So Bearing Point, being a huge company, a global company, but have a base here in Ireland with up to 300 employees. And, you know, they're facing difficulties like most companies at the moment, with all our staff having to work from home and isolated working conditions. You know, and I was just talking earlier to another journalist about the conditions for some people. Some people have the luxury of having a backyard or a garden, and some people are in apartment blocks or whatever. And, you know, Bearing Point, they care very sincerely about well-being. And and health, and they want to try and promote that and give their employees options and choices, healthy options and choices while working from home. And last year I engaged with Bearing Point and done some online fitness workouts with them. So that was the kind of initial link at the first lockdown in 2020. That was the initial link between myself and Bearing Point. And it went so well. The employees, they really enjoyed the workouts, and we invited their European colleagues into the classes as well. And we established a very good virtual workout, and it became a part of our weekly schedule, and the feedback was very positive. And Bearing Point realized then that this was a very good thing, and they also became aware of the role that I was playing in my home community and in society. I do a lot of school speaking and mental health workshops, seminars, and you know, I try and promote health and well-being. Basically, I'm a mental health advocate. And so they wanted to work a little bit more closely with me and to tap into that. And so they offered me the position of becoming a health and wellbeing brand ambassador, and it was one that I was absolutely delighted to take.
Well, it's quite a timely one, Eric, as well, because obviously for almost the last year now, we've all been trying to cope with, as you said, the challenges that COVID-19 has presented. But on top of that, we are here now in January, which is often a difficult time for people, particularly in terms of mental health. It's on the kind of anticlimax after Christmas and after the holiday season, which can also be an extremely tough time for people. Mm-hmm. How have you been coping, I suppose, with everything that's been going on in the last 10 months or so? And what tips could you give to people maybe who are listening in today about what they could be doing maybe to help improve their own mental health and well-being?
Yeah, you're right. You know, January is, you know, we talk about the January blues and how difficult that can be. It's a bit of a come down for a lot of people. And the January blues in the current climate are amplified because of the COVID-19 and the restrictions, and the cases and everything are just a bit out of control. So that's obviously going to create a lot of anxiety, a lot of, apprehension for people and uncertainty. But it's important for us to kind of focus on the things that we can control. The virus is completely out of our control. We have, the only thing that we could do is to try and follow the government guidelines to the best of our ability. But in terms of self-care for yourself, you have to take full responsibility for yourself. Be honest with yourself. No, try and have this. I do often try and check in with myself. I would check in. So it's almost like there's a very big difference between being alone and lonely. And I have to know that when I need alone space, I need space to be alone. But I also need to know when I'm lonely, especially for isolated workers who are working from home and are in rural areas. Or really what it's all about is about connecting with each other. Being connected, but also being connected to yourself, in so much so that you know what's going on for you at any different time, like emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically, you know, and knowing how to address something if you're struggling in a certain area.
Yeah, indeed. Well, 2020 has certainly been a bit of a roller coaster for you, both personally and professionally. But it ended on a very high note, Eric. You know, on the last day of 2020, you were announced as the mandatory challenger for the Super Featherweight European title. How was that? That must have been an incredible way to finish out the year.
Oh, it was brilliant. Honestly, at the start of my boxing career, I said a dream for me would be like my Everest, you know, would be like a European title shot, because I turned professional very late in life and I had an almost like an unfinished business kind of an attitude, unanswered questions of myself. And I wanted to try and rectify a few mistakes of the past and kind of make amends for the regrets that I had, and I went on this journey back in 2016, and here I am. I'm one step away from actually making that dream become a reality. So it is an amazing position to be in, albeit at a very difficult time in our geographically, economically. So I don't know when the fight's going to be announced or where it's going to take place. But it is nice and it's promising to know that my next fight is going to be for that famous blue strap.
And speaking of fights and 2020 as well, just another look back. How was that experience for you with Eddie and everything last year? Like, that must have been an incredible opportunity for you.
It was, you know, it's every boxer's dream to fight on the biggest platforms. And Sky Sports certainly are the biggest platform out there. And, you know, again, it's another bittersweet kind of an experience for me because I lost the fight. I got knocked out. Nobody ever wants to get knocked out. But up until I was got knocked out, I was winning the fight. So I proved that I was doing really well. But it's one of those things. I got a lot of praise for being, for losing, basically. And it's very rare that someone's stock would rise up when they get, you know, in defeat. But lucky enough for me, in my case, it has. And it's just given me another chance and another opportunity to have a second bite at the cherry. So I'm very pleased for that.
Yeah, well, those two opportunities, I suppose, if you take them together, what could you say you've learned from that fight, you know, the knockout, as you said? Is there areas of your own performance, your own boxing, your craft that you are now going to be working on for whenever this challenger fight comes up?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think it's, you know, for sports people, for businesses, for everybody, we have to always be open to continuous learning, continuous development, and always trying to evolve and get better. Like, my motto is always strive to be better in every department of your life. And there's a couple of areas that we needed to address. We needed to bring in a bit more experience in the corner from a coaching perspective. So I brought in a new head coach in Paddy Collins. So Paddy Collins is teaming up with Kenneth Egan now. So that's a great mixture there. Kenneth Egan, Olympic silver medalist. Paddy Collins, over 20 years professional boxing experience. The last man to train, the last coach to train a fighter who beat Mike Tyson. He coached Kevin McBride. That time McBride beat Tyson. And then on terms of a strength and physical strength and conditioning, I brought in the new strength and conditioning coach, Seamus Power, and he's putting muscle on the muscle, so to speak. Working away with him closely, and I noticed that's, you know, that's a part of my game that's improving as well. So I'm excited about the future. But I'm like, you know, I'm more, even more pumped now to have a huge company like Bearing Point in my corner. You know what they'll add to my corner, to my team, in terms of like their professionalism, their contacts, their network, their support, and you know, they're just a real force in the world of business and consultation and technology, finance, everything. They're big business leaders. They're a global leader, and you know, they're very passionate about what they do. They see that, they know that I'm very passionate about what I do, and you know, we share the same values and principles, and coming together we make a great team, and hopefully we'll bring some more exciting nights and entertaining nights back to Irish sport.
Yeah, so as you say, Bearing Point, obviously see what an inspiration you are. You have been in your community and you will be undoubtedly to all of the Bearing Point staff going forward in 2021. The final thing I have for you, as we're talking about you being an inspiration, if we were to get to this time next year, what is the ultimate dream for these next 12 months? Like, what could you say if I spoke to you on the 8th of January 2022, what would be the place where you'd be? I have no regrets.
Okay, professionally, to be European champion, that would be, as I said, my absolute Everest. It would be a sign that, you know, no matter how far down the scale we fall, no matter how kind of difficult life gets or how tough life gets, no matter how deep of a hole we are in, we can get out of it, we can turn our lives around, and we can be a success. In all areas. So that's why I want to become a European champion, to not only prove to myself, but to also prove it to anybody else out there who's struggling with adversity or mental health or in any way, shape or form, any sort of adversity in their life. Personally, I want to be married, man. So we were supposed to get married last July. It's postponed from last July to April 2021, and it looks like we're going to have to postpone it again. So it's one of those things. Our wedding date is becoming a little, probably a bit more elusive than I am in the ring these days. We just can't seem to nail it down. But no, it's. I think we're going to get there at some point. So hopefully in 12 months, Mary, I am the European champion and a married man.
Well, you can't ask for more than that, Eric. Thanks so much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, as always.
Yeah, fantastic to hear from Eric Donovan, and big plans for 2021, and heard him talking there about his plans, and very best of luck to him as he tries to get married this year as well. But heard him talk about that fight with Zalfa Barrett back in August, that cracking fight for the Intercontinental Junior Lightweight title. A thrilling bout, as Eric said. He was ahead in the fight. It was a close battle. I was on the edge of my seat watching it, as I imagine everyone in Ireland was. Just coming up short, getting stopped in the eighth round. But what a fight that was. He earned so many fans that night. And from not only just Ireland, from across Europe as well, across the world, for his very brave performance, very strong go-forward performance, really testing Zalfa Barrett. So really looking forward to seeing Eric back in action again very, very soon, and hopefully big things to come for the Kildare man. All over in the FA Cup, Tottenham have beaten Marine by 5-0. Vinicius with a hat-trick for Jose Mourinho's side in the first half. Lucas Moura also finding the net before the break as well. And 16-year-old Alfie Devine also scoring for the visitors on his debut. So a fantastic day for Spurs. Not so much for Marine, but it was always going to be a David and Goliath story than on league side. But I can imagine a fantastic occasion for them and for their supporters. Just a shame that no supporters were allowed into the ground. But a 5-0 win for Spurs today on Merseyside. Elsewhere today, League 2 side Crawley Town providing the shock of the afternoon as they come to beat Leeds United by 3-0. And Chelsea 4-0 winners at Stamford Bridge. And as I mentioned, the 7:45 kickoff this evening, Newport County versus Brighton and Hove Albion. Finally this evening, I just wanted to take a little time to pay tribute to a great, great man. My grandfather, Owen McCarthy, passed away this week at the grand old age of 95. He had a massive influence on me and was one of the most important people in my life, it's fairly safe to say. Now, the reason I bring this up in a sports show is because back in his day, Grando was one of the top football referees in the country. He refereed countless League of Ireland matches, along with European Cup matches and international matches. The highlight of Grando's career was when he refereed the 1968 FAI Cup final in Dalymount Park in front of a crowd of just under 40,000 people. He'd been on the line for several times before that, but this was the first time he was the man in the middle. He oversaw a comfortable win for Shamrock Rovers over Waterford, as Mick Leach helped Rovers make it a 5 in a row of cup wins.
Out to the outside left, it's Mick Lawler there, he middles it, Leach running for it, Leach is in the box, and he shoots and he scored! Leach has scored for Rovers, 18 and a half minutes gone in the first half, and look at the crowd, the jubilant Rovers supporters swarming onto the pitch.
Former Cork City manager Damien Richardson was on the Rovers side that year, and I remember asking him if he gave my granda any abuse on the day. We won 3-0, so I didn't have to, was Rico's reply. In 2016, after Cork City won the Cup, the club graciously let me have it for an hour or two so I could bring it out to him. The delight in his face as he held it in his hands will stick with me for the rest of my life. An incredible moment. After his refereeing career came to an end, Granda became a referee's assessor and also helped to bring through the next generation of refereeing talent in Cork. My granddad took me under his wing from a very early age, instilling in me my love for sport, and along with my late uncle Don, would take me to Cork City matches and Cork matches and St Finbarr's matches, pushing me in front of him at the turnstiles in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, so he didn't have to pay to get me in. While I was a huge Manchester United fan as a kid, he always encouraged me to support my local team first, and he'd bring me out to Bishopstown to watch Cork City games. Slavia Prague in European competition was one of the memories I have, and then obviously the Cross. We attended countless games together. One of my favourite games we saw together was the 2008 Setanta Sports Cup final. Cork City beat Glentoran 2-1 at the Cross, coming from behind to win. As the St Anne's End was being redeveloped, it meant that capacity was just 5,500 and tickets were a hot commodity. I secured tickets for Granda and me, but somehow I ended up with a third on the day. I can't remember how. Now, we'd parked the car and we were strolling down to the Cross, and I mentioned I had a spare. We'll call into my brother Bobby and see if he wants to come with us. Bobby lived close to the Cross, so we were like two schoolchildren knocking the door asking Bobby's wife Peg could Bobby come out to play. Bobby was only delighted, and the three of us nearly skipped down the road to the game. Now, we arrived late to the game, so seats together were pretty much non-existent. Luckily, one of the security lads spotted me, shouted, "Roar, are you stuck?" and gave us seats right behind the City dugout. Granda and Uncle Bobby were delighted. City won 2-1 to lift the cup, but that game has always stuck with me as being extra special for being able to share it with the two of them. You can see us celebrating together on the highlights video on YouTube when the final whistle goes.
There is time for no more, and Cork City have exercised the ghosts of 2006. They are the 2008 Setanta Sports Cup champions.
It was Granda's family, though, that was his pride and joy. He had 8 children with his one and only Patty, as he'd say, along with 12 grandchildren and 11 great-grandchildren who he absolutely adored. It's safe to say, without my Granda, I would not have the love for sport that I do, and I certainly wouldn't be doing what I do now. I owe it all pretty much to him. I'll do a proper tribute to him someday. This is just some random thoughts scribbled down and recorded quickly for the show. But just before I hit record, I found this on my phone. The great man himself talking about his great passion, refereeing.
I loved refereeing, though. The first day, I loved it. And the secretary of the AOL, Rossi Lennon, says to me, he was at my first match. He was the secretary of water, the team I played with, right?
Yeah.
Before he became secretary, Graham, and he said to me, "You'll make it all," he said. I had the clue what he was talking about.
And he was right? He was right?
He was.
What was the first match you refereed, do you remember?
It was a Mets stolen Church Road. It was to decide the runners up of the minor league on the season before.
Yeah.
That was the first match I refereed. And Mercy said, "You'll make it all right, you know what he meant."
And make it he did. What a man. My granda is my hero, and he always will be. Rest in peace, buddy. All right, that's it from us for the Big Red Bench this evening. Thanks very much indeed for tuning our way, and thanks for listening in. Our podcast will be online shortly. You can get that on redfm.ie, redextra.ie, or from wherever you get your podcast from. Be sure and follow us on social media at Big Red Bench on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. We're back next Saturday from 6 p.m. Still to come on Cork's Red FM tonight, Alan Donovan's up next. 3 hours of the best Irish music coming your way with Queen on Red. So basically, folks, enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening. For those of you going back to work tomorrow for the first time since Christmas, hope the Sunday Night Fear isn't too bad, that old Glen Rose syndrome, but we'll talk to you again next weekend, Saturday and Sunday from 6 on the Big Red Bench. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Every little helps.
When it comes to truly awesome entertainment, we're not playing around. Now, when you switch to Virgin Media, you can pick up Superfast Broadband and TV 360 for just €55 a month for an incredible 12 months and €92 a month after that. The sale that keeps on giving. Now on. Bring on amazing.